Pastors Larry and Tiz Huck welcome you to another Larry Huck Ministries podcast. We pray this teaching will fill you with God's wisdom, anointing, and revelation knowledge. Thank you for your prayers and faithful support.
You are on the throne. You are God and there is none like you. You are the one true God, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the author and the finisher of our faith, thanking you that what you began in us, you will finish it, and no devil in hell can stop it, because if God be for us, what can stand against us? We thank you that you are high and lifted up, and your train fills the temple. You are awesome, you are mighty, you are wonderful, and you are worthy to be praised for the rest of our lives, for all of eternity. Our mouths will sing the praises of the God of heaven and earth forever and ever. And we thank you that you are here inhabiting our praise tonight. Lord, we love you, and there is no other God before us but you. And we lift our hearts and our hands in worship and thanksgiving to you for all of eternity. And we thank you for moving in this place. We thank you, Lord, that healings are going to happen tonight. We thank you for miracles that will take place, because when you show up, miracles begin to happen. Darkness begins to flee. Deliverance begins to come. Bondages begin to break. Addictions begin to come down. Strongholds are broken when you begin to show up and manifest your power and who you are. And we will vow to give you all the praise and the glory for all that you will do in our lives. And I thank you that you are raising up a last days generation of people who are standing before me, and those that are watching by stream. You are raising up proof producers. You are raising up world shakers and history makers. You are raising up supernaturalists who will walk like you walk and see what you saw and shake this planet with the glory and the power and the love of God like no generation has ever seen before. We are a greater works generation that will walk in the glory and the power of God. And we thank you for the anointing of God coming upon this generation tonight to see your kingdom expand and go forward in all of the earth, that the world may know that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And we thank you for it tonight, and we give you all the praise in the name that is above all names. Somebody shout his name, Jesus. Shout it again, Jesus. Give him thanks tonight. Give God all the praise. Give him all the glory. God is in the house. God is in the house. You can be seated if you can. I want to welcome all of you here tonight. Thank you for being here on a Wednesday night, when you could be watching Seinfeld reruns and Mike and Molly and all that kind of stuff. I want to welcome our stream audience. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Tonight is going to be an awesome night. I believe that people are going to leave this place healed by the power of God. And you know, there is no distance in God's power. So those of you that are in your homes, God will heal you right where you are. When you reach out to him in faith, and we believe that God's going to touch you, we believe that lives are going to receive Jesus tonight. So I'm going to just dive right in this thing. And this time, let's just get to work tonight. Are you ready? Because we only have a short amount of time. I want to release you on a decent time tonight. But I want to continue a message that I spoke and I preached to you guys probably maybe 3 weeks, a month ago, on a greater works generation. How many of you know that God is raising up a greater works generation? People like you and I, everyday kind of people, who would do the works that Jesus did and even greater. John 14:12. People that will walk like Jesus walked, that will see what Jesus saw, that will cast out devils, that will heal the sick, and that will raise the dead. Everyday kind of people, not just pastors and evangelists and apostles and prophets and teachers, but come on, mothers, fathers, factory workers, ditch diggers, come on, people working at Popeyes, fixing the latest chicken sandwich, come on, somebody. People like you and I who are tuned in to the God of heaven and earth, and that will begin to show his power and love in this earth like the world has never seen before. God has marked you and I for this moment. You are marked for this moment. So I want to give you some tools tonight in your tool belt that will help you, because my job as an evangelist is to help you in not only in sharing your faith, but also operating in the power of God. It's one thing to talk about the power of God, but it's another thing to operate in the power of God. Because I see a lot of people talking the talk, but I don't see many walking the walk. But you and I, as Morris Cirillo says, are proof producers. We will be those who produce the proof that Jesus Christ is who he says he is by the lives that we live. So I want to give you some things tonight that will help you. We're going to go through lots of material, so please bear with me. I'm going to go through it as quick as I can for the sake of time so that we can begin to see these things begin to manifest in our lives. And toward the end, we're going to have a time of impartation where we're going to pray that God, by his Holy Spirit, would release into your life the gifts of the Spirit. How many would think that would be pretty exciting? Some of you are already being used in the gifts of the Spirit already, but God wants to take it to another level. And those of you who are not being used, God wants to give you a Holy Ghost boldness to step out and to see his power manifest in your life on a regular basis. It can happen at 24-hour fitness. Come on, it can happen at Tom Thumb. Come on, in the meat aisle section. Come on, somebody. It can happen at the Cinemark Theater. Wherever you're at, the power of God can manifest. God is just looking for someone that will say, yes, Lord, here I am. Use my life. I'm not the most polished. I may not have a degree. I may not know it all. I may not be the smartest person in the room, but I choose to be a yielded vessel that God can work through to touch a lost and a dying world. I want to share with you some of my notes on love and compassion, because I believe that if we're going to operate in the ministry of Jesus, which all of us should, we must have God's heart for people. We've got to have, it can't be because we want to be the latest, come on, act on, come on, Daystar, come on, somebody, or TBN. It can't be because we want to be who's who in the charismatic zoo. It can't be because we want to be noticed. We must have the heart and the compassion of Jesus Christ for people that are broken, come on, that are hurting, that are bound by the devil, that you and I would be stand up and begin to show the way and let people know and demonstrate God's power to this world. I see this happen all the time. And it's not because I'm anything great. It's because I serve a great God. I want to share with you just briefly my journey into the healing ministry. I remember being living in, my family and I, my wife and our kids, we were living in Oceanside, California. And this is several years ago. And we were attending a church out there, which I was one of the leaders, and we had an evangelist come to the church who preached and ministered in the power of God like I've never seen before. This was a man who was a man of color. He was operating in the power. He was preaching. He was ministering in a way that I could actually relate to. How many know what I'm talking about? I could actually relate. I'm like, man, this guy, I can relate to this. And he operated in the power of God just so, it was just so powerful, but it was so real and down to earth. And I'm thinking to myself, if he can do it, I can do it. If God can use him, God can use me. And that was his message many times. If God can use me, God can use you. It's not because I'm anything great. It's not because I have this great ability. But how many know it's God's ability on your lack of ability? Call supernatural. And I saw someone that, I saw a model that demonstrated God's love and power in a way that I could relate, and it grabbed a hold of me and did something in my heart. So I began to start stepping out and praying for people. For the longest, I didn't see anyone heal. But I knew what the Bible said. What did the Bible say? That if I would lay hands on the sick, they would recover. I knew what it said, but I was reading the word, I was believing the word, but I was not experiencing the word. But I kept doing it. I was determined, because I learned a long time ago from a great man of God by John Wimber, when God dealt with him about the same thing in his life, when he was stepping out and praying for the sick, and he prayed, he said he prayed for thousands, over 1,000 people, and no one healed. And he was preaching on this in his church in Anaheim, California. They were having services, and no one was healed. And he said, God, I'm done. I had it. I've had enough. And God said to him, don't preach your experience, preach my word. Just because you may not be experiencing right now does not mean that it's not real or it won't happen. I believe many times God is testing us to see where our motives lie. Why do you want to heal the sick? Come on. Why do you want to raise the dead? Why do you want to prosper? What is your motive? And God will test you many times to see where your motive's at. Because if your motives are wrong, God will say, well, you're not ready yet. So I guess I wasn't ready yet. But it began to build up a determination in me, because I knew that God's word was real. I saw people get healed. I heard about people getting healed. I went to Reinhard Bonnke Crusades and saw God get healed, but saw people get healed, so I knew it could happen. And I remember some times past, and I was, my wife and I, we were pastoring our second church in East San Diego, California, off of University and Cherokee Avenue. And God had been stirring me about the supernatural, the power of God. And I remember one of the people in our church invited me over to pray for their wife who was sick. So I went over to the house, talked with them, and we prayed for her in the living room. And all of a sudden, the power of God hit this woman. She falls out under the power of God, and she gets up totally healed. I said to myself, I got one. I got one. So as I began to continually step out, I began to see more people heal, and I began to see more people heal, and I began to see more people heal as I began to pray for more people. How many know the more people you pray for to get healed, the more people you will see get healed? Now, I had some struggles in the healing ministry because, and I'm just going to just let you just be totally open about this, because this is something I struggled with a long time. Just to let you know, I would go out and pray for people because I would minister in churches as I do as an evangelist, and I would see people get healed. I remember I was preaching outside of San Jose, California, and I was preaching at a conference, a prophetic evangelism conference. And there was a lady there who had some serious back issues. She was sitting, I believe, in a Denny's with her husband eating breakfast. Come on, eating breakfast, and someone lost control of their car and ran right into the restaurant, jacked her back up. This woman was in serious, serious pain. We got to pray for her. The power of God touched this woman. All her pain went away. Everything gone. She left that conference totally healed by the power of God. Totally healed. I mean, this woman had serious issues. Serious issues. But then I would go home and I would pray for my wife who had serious back issues, and nothing would happen. And for a long time, I struggled with that. Because I'd see all these people getting touched by God and healed, and I would go home and I wouldn't see it happen. And for a long time, it bothered me. And what I had to do is that I had to come to a place, first of all, that I had to repent. I had to ask God to forgive me for taking this so personal, because I'm not the healer. Jesus is the healer. But you know how it is when it's someone that you love so dearly. I love my wife with all my heart. And to see her in pain and going somewhere to another city and see someone get healed and come back and not see anything happen, it was very hard to deal with. Now, God has touched her in many other ways, and she's received healing in many other areas, but I finally had to just say, God, I give it to you. Forgive me for taking this so personal. You're the healer, I'm the vessel. Come on, somebody. You're the healer, I'm the vessel. My job is to pray, and it's your job to heal. Just like seeing someone get saved. It's not our job to convert anyone. You can't convert a fly. It's your job to preach the gospel. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict people of their sin and their need for God. But you can't save anyone. You can only proclaim the gospel, and the Holy Spirit does the rest. It's not our job to save anyone. It's Jesus' job to save people. The same way with healing, same way with miracles. And I learned a very valuable lesson, that if I'm going to operate like Jesus did, I need to walk in the compassion that Jesus walked in. 1 John 4, it says what? God is love. How many know that we cannot be witnesses of Jesus' power without his love? Not effectively anyway. Listen to this. Jesus did not heal people to prove he was God. He healed people because he was God. He didn't have to prove anything. He healed because he was God. God's power is a demonstration of his love. I had a man say to me, and you may have heard the story, I prayed for a guy at work, one of my supervisors. God, the man was barely walking when he came to work. Prayed for him. Nothing happened immediately, because know this, sometimes healing is instantaneous and sometimes it's progressive. Sometimes it will happen quickly. Sometimes it takes a period of time. When you pray for someone, the power of God goes out of you into them every single time when you pray in faith. You may not see it. You may not feel it. You may not have any goosebumps. It does not matter. God's power, his anointing, leaves you and goes into that person every time. That's why Jesus said, when the woman touched him with the issue of blood, what did he say? Virtue has left me. Virtue leaves you every time you pray for people, every time you minister to people. Virtue, the anointing, God's power flows through you into that person. It is the anointed one and his anointing that flows right out of your spirit into someone's body. I prayed for him, nothing happened. By the end of the night, he was walking like nothing ever happened to him. I said, what happened? He says, man, I'm feeling good. I said, what happened to you? He said, when you prayed for me, I didn't feel anything. But through the night, as I went through the night, I felt a heat come into my leg, and I felt what I was, the pain go right out of my foot. That's the virtue. That's the anointing. Prayed for another guy at work. Just got out of the Air Force. Great, great young guy. He was having back problems. He had back issues from serving in the military. Prayed for him one night. He was in pain. You could see it on his face. 30 seconds, less than 30 seconds, prayed for him. All of a sudden, he looks, this man is not saved yet, but he's coming to Christ. He already told me he's going to come to church. I said, come on. He was in pain. You could look at his face when he stood up from the chair. He looks at me and then he looks around and says, I was just hurting and I don't feel anything. He says to me, that's weird. See, people don't have a grid for this. And what did I say to him? Because God loves them and he healed them, but he needed still to get saved. And I said to him this, God loves you, that's why he healed you, but you need to give your life to Jesus Christ. Jesus used his power for the sake of love. And everything he did was from love. Think about it. Everything he did out of love. Just think how powerful your life would be and how much power would flow through you if everything you did out of love. He raised the dead, he did it out of love. He cast out devils, he did it out of love. He opened blind eyes, he did it out of love. He fed the multitudes, he did it out of love. I love what one minister said. He said, every time you see Jesus in the Gospels, he is either healing someone or has just come from healing someone or is on his way to heal someone. I'm serious. He went around, the Bible says, doing what? Doing good. Acts 10:38. Jesus went around doing good, healing all that were oppressed by the devil because God was with him. Sickness is from the devil. Oppression is from the devil. Cancer is from the devil. Leukemia is from the devil. But you and I have the anointing that breaks every yoke of oppression. There's a saying that says, let my heart, Lord, be moved by the things that move your heart. Let's pray that right now. Just lift your hands and say, Lord, let my heart be moved by the things that move your heart. See, when your heart is moved by his heart, your life takes on a whole different meaning. You see things differently. You look at people differently because now you begin to see what? You begin to see with the eyes of Jesus, and you begin to feel with the heart of Jesus. And you're not quick to judge or condemn someone, come on, because you're responding with the compassion of Jesus. It is said that hatred and bad relationships cause all kinds of sickness, and that sickness remains until the root cause is dealt with. Think about this for a moment. Maybe, if the love of God was demonstrated more in our lives as the church, there would be less sickness. Think about it. Because when you come into an environment that is filled with love, sickness cannot stand. Addictions can't stand. Come on, demons, come on, cannot stand. in an environment or a community that is walking in the compassion and the love of Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about some slurpy love, some syrupy up and down love. No, I'm talking about love that's strong. I'm talking about a love that went to the cross. I'm talking about a love that went to hell for you. I'm talking about a love that broke the back of the devil for you. I'm talking about a love that went the extra mile for you. I'm talking about a love that sacrificed himself. That's not a weak love. That's real love right there. That's real love. John G. Lake, who was had a powerful healing ministry. If you ever get any books on John G. Lake, I encourage you to grab them. Go on Amazon. Get what you can on John G. Lake. This man walked in the presence and the power of God. John G. Lake, if you don't know about his life, he was a missionary in Africa, had a powerful move of God there. Lived in the Northwest, Portland, Spokane, Washington. Because of his healing ministry and those that he trained, which they call them technicians, this is history. Over 100,000 documented people healed in the city of Spokane. It came out in the papers that Spokane was the healthiest city in America because one man dared to believe God. Serious. What can you do if you dare to step out and believe God? John G. Lake, many times, he would pray for the sick until he felt the compassion of Jesus flow through him for that person. And when he began to sense the compassion, he knew that the Spirit of God was there. He recognized the healing power of God to be present when he felt compassion. Remember, I said this and I'll say it again. Compassion will move you to action. Compassion is love on wheels. Compassion will cause you to do something about the pain that you see in someone else's life. Compassion will cause you to rise against injustice. Compassion will cause you to stretch out your hand. Compassion will cause you to lay down your life for someone. Compassion will move you. Every time in the scriptures you would see Jesus move with compassion, what happened afterwards? A miracle, a healing. Compassion is not showing weakness. It is actually showing strength. Because you and I have the authority and the power to relieve mankind's suffering. And many of us are sitting on it and we do nothing with it every day of our lives. You and I have the power to relieve the suffering of humanity. You've got so much power inside of you that you don't even realize how powerful you are and what you can do if you will step out and believe God and quit looking at your circumstances and quit looking at your inadequacies and quit looking at your shortcomings and begin to look at the faithfulness and the mercy and the grace and the power of God and watch him do through your life what you've never thought possible. It only takes one to make a difference. Love always takes the initiative. John 3:16, what does it say? God so loved the world that he gave. Love always takes the initiative. Love always steps out of its comfort zone. Love doesn't wait to be moved. Love moves toward the situation and the problem and brings an answer. Hear what I'm saying. That's why he stepped out of heaven. He moved toward you and I because sin was destroying mankind. And he took the initiative and says, I will go and I will give my life for the people I created. Love always takes the initiative. Mark 6:34, Jesus was moved with compassion. What does it mean? It is more than taking pity or feeling sorry for someone. That's not true godly compassion. It refers to something that comes out of your spirit. This compassion does not come out of your mind. This compassion does not come out of your soul. It does not come out of your feelings. It comes out of your spirit. Because it is something that is supernaturally implanted in you by the Spirit of God himself. It is a sense of anger toward the enemy who did this to a person and a love that responds to the need of someone who has been harassed by the devil. It is an anger that rises up, but at the same time, a concern for the brokenness. Compassion is supernaturally imparted to us by God, where we take on his love for people, God's love. We begin to feel that way he does. We begin to feel the same way God does, but to a smaller degree. Why? Because we cannot handle the full intensity of his love for humankind. If he was to put his entire love and compassion inside of you, I believe that you and I would die from a broken heart because we can't stand that much love. So he will give you a measure of his compassion. Because that love is so strong. He gives you a measure of his compassion where your heart begins to break for people you don't even know. You begin to pray for people you don't even know. You begin to fast for people you don't even know. You begin to reach out to people you don't even know. How does that happen? It is by a supernatural transaction from the heart of God when he puts his heart into yours. It's supernatural love. And many times in my life, I have felt my heart seeming as if it is breaking for people that I don't even know. Because all of a sudden, I began to sense the way the Father feels about people. And there are times in my life that his compassion would come upon me so strong that I was not even able to function. Because it was just so overwhelming. And it's like all of a sudden your eyes are open and you see people for who they are. You begin to see beyond the pretense. You begin to see beyond the facade, the mask. You begin to see them for who they really are. A person who is in desperate need of a Savior, who is lost and on their way to hell, who needs the truth and the love of Jesus Christ to set them free. It's nothing like it. We must have God's heart and mind if we're going to reach this generation. We are encouraged to desire spiritual gifts. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:1. It says what? First, pursue what? Gifts? It said pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. He doesn't put gifts first. He puts love first. Because there are many people who pursue spiritual gifts, but they have no love for people. All of us have seen it. Pursuing gifts, and we need to go after the gifts. The Bible says, desire spiritual gifts. Desire to operate in the word of knowledge. Desire to move in miracles. Desire to prophesy. Desire to operate in discerning of spirits. Desire to move in the gifts of healing. Desire these gifts. But remember this, at the end of the day, pursue love. So Jesus wants you and I to operate in all of these gifts. Every one of us can operate in these gifts. But we must put love first. Pursue means to aggressively chase like a hunter pursuing a catch. To earnestly endeavor to acquire. We must grow in our authority and faith to see more people healed. But most importantly, we must grow in God's love. Let me tell you something. You may feel as if you have no gifts, but let me tell you something. If you pursued love, the power of God that will flow through you by walking in love will be beyond anything you could comprehend. Because now you have God's heart about the situation. And God says, now you've got my heart. I can release my hand. When you capture God's heart, he will release his hand. You got to hear what I'm saying. That's why in the book of Acts, when Stephen, who was just a waiter of tables, began to operate in the power of God. He began to preach, miracles began to happen, and he began to come under persecution, and they began to stone him because he stood for Jesus the Messiah. And as they were stoning him, he was about to die. What does he say? Oh, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Who else said that? Jesus. The Bible says, and you never see this anywhere else in the Bible, the Bible says that Jesus stood up. He took notice of someone who was actually walking in love, and he got up off his throne and he began to stand up and look. And I bet he was thinking to himself, now somebody's finally caught my heart. God will stand for you when you walk in this type of love. Whew. I'm telling you. We desire his gifts in order to demonstrate his love. Love releases God's power because love is the reason for the demonstration of his power. Let me say that again. Love releases God's power because love is the reason for the demonstration of his power. We don't seek love so we can have power, but we need to seek power so we can demonstrate love. When you catch his love, the power will flow through you like nothing. And I believe that we're going to begin to see people walk like that, that as what happened with Peter. Peter's shadow passed the sick and they were healed. There was no prayer line. Come on, there was no word of not, there was nothing. His shadow, because he walked in so much intimacy and love that his shadow passed the sick. Who else did that? You're going to be walking down the aisle. Come on, somebody. In Kroger. Going to pick up some bread or something. The power of God's going to hit some lady in a wheelchair and she's going to get up. Come on, somebody.
And you're just going to get some, come on, whole wheat bread. I'm serious. But you got to expect that God is going to do this in your life. But I made mistakes. Repent and move on. But I did this. Come on, repent and move on. But quit saying but and believe and trust that God will manifest himself through you every day of your life. You and I owe this world an encounter with Almighty God. We owe this world an encounter. Our motive must always be love. Not for fame or for fortune. Not so that we can get rich and be the most noticed and the most talked about. No. But because we love the way Jesus loves. There are people right now on the earth walking in so much power, and guess what? They don't even have a book out. They don't have an MP3 series. Nothing wrong with any of those things. You may never even know their name, but it does not matter. They don't want you to know their name. They only want you to know his name. Because when the Bible says that if Jesus be lifted up, he will draw all people unto himself. When you live a life that lifts up Jesus Christ and not your name and not your fame and not what you have, but Jesus, he will draw people out of the woodwork. God is not impressed by power. He is impressed by love. Randy Clark, great man of God, who I highly admire, I've learned a lot from, said something that really had a major impact on my life in praying for the sick. Because sometimes when you pray for the sick, sometimes you may not see them heal. And he says this, and it has revolutionized my life. He said that if someone doesn't get healed when you pray for them, at least they should know by the time they walk away from you that they are loved. Even if they don't see a manifestation, they need to know that they're loved first of all by God and by you. I want you to lift your hands. We're going to pray a prayer, some prayers of activation. I've got to hurry up and move on. And we're going to go through the 5-step prayer model real quickly on how to pray for people wherever you're at. You can do it anywhere. But right now, let's pray some prayers of activation. Just lift your hands and just look to Jesus. And just say this with me. May the Holy Spirit and the kingdom of God come upon me and consume me right now. I yield myself and my senses to you, Lord Jesus, and I present them all to you. Senses become unlocked in the name of Jesus. I declare that you are no longer captive to the patterns of the past. I present you to the one true and holy God for reclamation and purification. Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you as a vessel that you can work through. Spirit, soul, and body, I yield to you. Say this with me. Here I am, Lord. All that I am and all that I hope to be, I surrender to you. I present to you my body, soul, and spirit with all of my natural and supernatural senses. May they be useful to you as instruments for accomplishing your will on this earth. One more prayer, then we're just going to wait for a moment. Say this with me. Come, Holy Spirit, and baptize me with the fire of your love. Just wait for a few moments right now. Let the Holy Spirit just work in you right now. Those that are watching, let the Holy Spirit just work in you as you wait. We got plenty of time. We'll be done in no time at all. Let's give time for the Holy Spirit to work in you. Because I want to see God use your life to make a difference in this world. Some of you may need to repent right now. Maybe some sin in your life. Something that the Holy Spirit is bringing to your attention. Just between you and God, just release it. Repent of it and let it go. And that's the end of it. He doesn't bring it back up, neither should you. So that we can be clean vessels, so that Jesus can pour out his love and power through. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. We thank you for what you're doing right now. You can look up. Real quickly, I want to go through this. I just want to take a time for activation prayer. I want to go through the 5-step prayer model real quickly. If you're taking notes, I'm going to go through these as quick as I can. So just bear with me. I'm not going to take a lot of time to expound on these, but these are very simple. They can be used anywhere in your life. They could be used, and a great place they could be used is right in your life groups. You can do it at work. You can do it on an airplane. I've done it at the gym. I've done it at restaurants. You could do it anywhere. Number one, first of all, healing was central to the ministry of Jesus, as we already know. It was a central part of his ministry. Now, the first thing is the interview. I'm going to go through that real quickly. So when you're, say, your person that you that you're talking to needs healing, you're going to briefly interview that person, requesting prayer. And so you could do something like, you know, what would you like me to pray for specifically? Because it's very important to know specifically what it is you're praying for. That's like when I tell people, and when you get a diagnosis from the doctor, that is a prayer point right there, what to pray for. Nothing to be afraid of, but something that you can take to the Lord in prayer. So what is it that I can pray with you about right now? Or you can ask, how long have you had this condition? You know, the guy that I prayed with at work a couple weeks ago, I said, man, what, you're all right? He said, I got pain in my back. I said, would you like me to pray for you? He said, yeah, go ahead. I remember one lady, she worked at a Wendy's. Her name was Rosa. And she would always have pain in her neck. I think it was because of stress. And so one of the other managers got healed there, and she heard about it. So she came to me one day, and she would call me by, she wouldn't say Sean, she would say, Chan, you come here, Chan, come here. And she would take me into her office, and she would stand there and say, okay, Chan, you pray right now. So I'd pray for her, and God would heal her. And she was like, okay, thank you. And she'd go on her way. So you're asking a person what it is you would like prayer or how long you've had the condition. That's the interview, okay? Number two is the prayer selection. Now, in the prayer selection, you must decide on the appropriate type of prayer ministry. This is a great thing for people to know that work the altars when we have people come down for prayer. So, first of all, there's the petition. Say petition. And then there's a command. Now, a petition is like this. It is a request to heal addressed to God. It goes like this. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to heal Mr. Early of back pain. That's a petition, okay? A command is addressed to a condition of the body or to a part of the body or to a troubling spirit such as a spirit of pain, infirmity, or affliction. Many times when you pray for people, you are dealing with demonic spirits of infirmity, pain, and affliction. Okay? So what you do is that you command, or you could say it like this, in the name of Jesus, I command this tumor to shrivel up and dissolve. This is how I primarily pray for people. I operate most of the time in commanding. Why? Because you and I have authority and we have power to cast out devils. Come on, somebody. We tread upon serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy. You and I have power to cast out unclean spirits. So many times you would deal with people who have spirits that are harassing them physically or emotionally or even mentally. So I will speak to the pain and I command that spirit of pain to go and speak healing to whatever the issue is. Petition or command, okay? Everybody understand? Got that one? I would encourage you to, as you grow in this, to begin to operate more with command. As your faith begins to grow, but operate more in a command. Now, you always have to do this. You always have to listen to the who? The Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit may have you pray in a different way. So you must always do this. You got two ears, right? Physically, you got two ears spiritually. So one ear is listening to the Holy Spirit, and one ear is listening to them. You're listening to God at the same time you're listening to them. And as you're ministering to them, you listen for any further instructions that God will give you. The last time that I ministered on a Wednesday night, we had a woman come who got healed. And then all of a sudden, God gave me a word of knowledge that she had been through a traumatic relationship. And all of a sudden, she began to break down. God was not only healing her physically, but he was also healing her of a broken heart. You will find many times when you pray for the sick, that is just the root. The fruit could be something emotional. So the Holy Spirit will speak to you to deal with the emotional healing. And then many times the physical healing would happen right after. Make sense? Okay, let's move on. Step 3, prayer ministry. So when you're praying for someone, I usually do this a lot. I say, Holy Spirit, come upon this person. And then you can all, if you have the time, especially in small groups, if you have the time, wait for a few moments. Because the Holy Spirit's not in a hurry, guys. And what happens as the Holy Spirit begins to fall on a person, he begins to start moving in the layers of that person and begins to start dealing and he begins to start moving down in the heart of a person. Sometimes it takes time. So you can say, Holy Spirit, come with your healing power. And then just wait for a moment before you pray. For what? Further instructions. Sometimes God will give you a word of knowledge about something. Sometimes the discerning of spirits will operate and you will detect, discerning of spirits will cause you to detect a demon spirit. You will discern that there's something there that shouldn't be there and then you can address that if that's what the Holy Spirit will have you to do. Is that too much? Okay. All right. Ask the person, I highly encourage you, ask the person not to pray while you're praying for them. Especially when you're ministering to a Christian. Now, when you're praying for an unsaved person, they're not going to pray. They're just going to stand there and look at you. But that's okay. God still heals them. But ask the person not to pray. Why? Because they're not receiving their giving. Tell them to relax. Come on. And just put their mind on Jesus. Okay? You can say, I just want you to relax and let me know if anything begins to happen in your body. And what you begin to see so many times is that they may begin to feel a heat in their body. When they feel a heat sensation, many times that's a sign of God's healing power at work. I have people say, there's a heat in my back. I feel a heat in my hand. I feel a heat there. It's God's healing power. Or you may not, they might not feel anything at all. Or they may be a wind. They may feel a wind. Or they may feel something well up inside of them. Or it could be nothing at all. Don't worry or be concerned if you don't see anything happen. Why? We walk by faith and not by sight. Okay, that's the prayer ministry. Let's move on. Remember, always pray or command in the name of Jesus. You can never use the name of Jesus enough. Where's the power? In the name of Jesus. It's not in the name of Saul. Come on, it's not in the name of Mark. It's in the name of Jesus. So you can use it as much as you like. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, because the power's in the name of Jesus Christ. Can't use it enough. Mark 16, 17 or 18, what does he say? In my name, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So he gave you carte blanche to use his name. Okay. All right. Now, let's move on to the next one. We're almost done. Just going through my book here. Step four, you can stop and re-interview. Now, if after time you are making no progress, consider interviewing the person further because there may be something deeper, okay? You could say something like, do you have a strong fear of anything? Or is there someone you need to forgive? One of the roadblocks to healing is unforgiveness. Many times there's someone that they have not forgiven that is blocking their healing. Not all the time, but many times. And what we find out is that once that person forgives them, the healing is automatic. Okay? Very important to understand that. Or you may be dealing with someone who was involved in the occult and you need to break the spirit of witchcraft and divination off of their life. Or it could be a generational curse that needs to be renounced, repented of, renounced, and broken through the cross of Jesus Christ. Everybody still with me? Okay. Now, you can do this modified. Sometimes you may not have time to go through all this. I'm just giving this to you in case you do, because there will be times that you will. Other times, you'll see someone, they need prayer, you pray for them. You'll tell them, hey, do something you couldn't do, and they'll be like, ah, it's gone. I don't feel anything. And you'll say, you know, what's happening to you? The pain's gone. And you're pretty much done right there. But I'll give you some post-prayer suggestions after that happens. So remember to stop and re-interview the person if nothing is happening, if you have the time. Okay? Now, let's look at... Almost there. Step five, post-prayer suggestion. So after praying, consider the following. Encourage the person to walk with God. Okay? Encourage them to serve God if you're dealing with someone that's unsaved, to give their life to Jesus. What did Jesus say to people? He says, go and sin no more till the worst thing come upon you. He said, live right. You might share a scripture verse. Scripture verses are very, very, very powerful in helping people and giving them something to stand on that they can apply to their life so they can go over and over, because they're going to need to fill their life with what? The Word of God. Okay? So you can give them some scriptures that pertain to what they're going through in life, no matter what it is. Another thing you can do, you can suggest tactfully that a change in lifestyle may well be needed to avoid a recurrence of this condition. So they may need to stop sleeping around. They may need to stop, come on, taking drugs. They may need to stop getting drunk. Come on, somebody. So tactfully, if that is the case, but remember this, you never make anyone feel like they don't have any faith. Okay, I've seen ministers do that, and you know what? It's a turnoff. And I'm like, that's not Jesus. Never tell someone you don't have enough faith. Never do that. You are there to show God's love and encourage. Even though that may be the case, you don't say it. You're there to bless them and to pray for them and to show God's love, period. Amen? So never accuse someone of a lack of faith for healing if there's sin in their life or there's some other kid. Never attack them because they have a lack of faith. Never do that. Okay? I really stress that. Now remember, healing is progressive and sometimes it occurs over a period of time. So you have to trust and believe that when you pray, the power of God went into that person. Now, what we do, I see a lot in the church world, is we'll pray for someone and then leave. No, stop. What did Jesus do when he prayed for people? What did he tell a guy? He told a dead man to get up. He would tell people to do something they could not do before. Why? Because it caused them to exercise their faith. And once they begin to move, they begin to experience healing. I see it happen all the time. When they begin to move, all of a sudden, even if it's just a 20%, difference, it's something. And when you pray for something, and if it's only maybe 20%, thank God for it and bless what God is doing. Because if you thank him and you bless what he's doing, guess what? He will do more. So you encourage that person that, hey, 20% better. Let's pray again. What did Jesus do with the blind man? He prayed for the man again. You can pray for a person 2 times, 3 times, if you have the time, pray for them again. Because what you're doing, you are administering healing. And sometimes they may need some extra. And so you're releasing more, and all of a sudden it's like their cup is filling up, and their cup, and it's like, oh, okay, there it is. Make sense? All right, we're almost done. Tell the person you're praying for to not be surprised if they experience spiritual attack after healing. Because you'll find sometimes the person is healed, and then the symptoms try to come back on them. That's a lie from the enemy. The devil is trying to trick them back into sickness when God's healed them. So he will come to try to get them right back what God just delivered them out of. So you have to teach them to stand on the word, speak the word, rebuke the symptoms, refuse to receive what is happening, and know that by his stripes they were healed. So we have to teach people these things. And then last but not least, love, love, love. Everything that you do as you minister to people, do it out of love. All right, I'm just about done. I want to go through over something real quickly that I think is very key, and then we'll finish with this. Now, some of the times you will pray for people, and they will have received a diagnosis from the doctor. Okay? Now, let me share this, which I'm going to read some of this. Accidents and operations affect people emotionally and eventually, of course, physically. These people are vulnerable to suggestions that may become self-fulfilling prophecies with disastrous effects for their health. Usually around the time of an operation or accident, a well-intentioned doctor says, your problems are such and such, you could suffer in such a way for the rest of your life. How many ever heard that? The doctor is convinced the patient will not get better, and this becomes an obstacle to the patient's healing. I've seen it happen many times. The doctor will diagnose to someone, you have cancer. You only have 60 days to live, and that person begins to wear away, and eventually they die. Now, the doctors, many of them are not, they don't understand the spiritual realm like we do. We understand that God has the last word. We understand that healing is in the name of Jesus. We understand that nothing is impossible with God. And so what happens is that when you work with people like this, you may have to break the words that were spoken over them by the doctor. I had to do this a couple of years ago. Now, this is, let me give you a quick example. I would go to the doctor, many times my blood pressure would be elevated. And I began, the Holy Spirit brought it to me, and he began to reveal to me, guess what you always say when you go to the doctor every time your blood pressure is elevated? It was coming out of my mouth, and I didn't even realize it. So I went to the doctor one day. She said, your blood pressure is elevated. You have hypertension. I said, no, I don't. I do not have hypertension. I don't receive that. Now, this is my family doctor. This was a wonderful woman who has been our doctor for years, who takes care of my wife and I and our family. But I said, no, I don't. But your blood pressure is elevated. I said, well, it gets like that. I said, if you give me a moment, I will do my breathing exercise. I will lower my heart rate, and you will see I do not have it. She gave me a few moments. I did my breathing exercises. My blood pressure went down. She took it again and said, okay, you're fine. But me and her had a little boxing match going on. I said, no, I do not have hypertension. Even if it was real, I still refuse to accept it. Now, that doesn't mean that I ignore it. That doesn't mean I just live like I want to live, come on, and eat fried chicken all day. Come on, somebody. And burritos, and come on, menudo, come on, somebody. I mean, we still got to be smart in the natural. Come on, somebody, are you with me? And so we went back and forth, and I said, well, you know, I'm going to take this to God. I'll be fine. And so she tested me again. I was fine. But the Holy Spirit reminded me, you've been saying this for years. Every time you go to the doctor. So what I had to do, I had to repent, because I was speaking wrong words over my life, and I had to break the words I was speaking over myself. A second way that doctors may intentionally create obstacles to healing is by informing patients of their odds for recovery. They say something like, based on statistical studies or cases similar to yours, you have a 50% chance that you will again suffer the effects of the disease within 1 year. This causes people to think of themselves as an impersonal number in a universal game of Russian roulette. Not as children of God living under his grace. In these instances, doctors eliminate God. Not that they're trying to. They don't even know God, some of them. They're just doing their job. We respect them. We thank God for them. Doctors have helped me. Doctors have helped us. Amen. Can we all say that? But I still say this, and I respect doctors with a lot of respect, very highly. They are still only practicing medicine. Jesus has perfected medicine. So I will take what they say, and then I will take what they say, and I'll take it to the great physician. But so you will deal with people that you will have to, what you will have to do is that you will have to break some of these things over their lives that were spoken because they chose to believe it. This is real, folks. Now, this doesn't mean that we ignore, say, no, it's not happening, and try to, you know, close our eyes. No, we're not. We understand. We understand what we're dealing with. We're not being stupid. We're taking what is said and we're taking it to him because he has the last word. He's formed me. He created me. When he's ready for me to go, I can go. Come on, somebody. And he even says this, when you're ready to go, then you can go home. That's what he said. When you're ready to go home, then you go home. Because it is no dignity for you and I to go to heaven, come on, in an adult senior home, losing our mind, come on, somebody, full of disease, come on, can't remember our families. That is not the will of God. And I refuse to accept it. When my Bible says, with long life, he will satisfy me and show me his salvation. My youth is renewed like the eagles. All right, I'm done. Let's all stand. We can go on and on about all of this, but we won't. Our time has come to an end. Go ahead and stand. Thank you for being so attentive because this stuff is real. I live this way every day of my life. And yes, sometimes I don't see healing, but that doesn't stop me. I still trust God at his word because I know that God's word is more powerful than anything that I'm faced with. Now, I want to pray for you for impartation real quickly because we have got to go. I know these guys are got to turn off the cameras. We want to pray real quickly for those that are watching by stream. And I know we went long, but before I pray for you and so they can go ahead and stop the recording, I want to pray for those who are sick out there. And I pray right now, if you're sick, I want you to lay your hands on wherever you're hurting. And I'm going to pray God's healing power over your life. Holy Spirit, come and touch your people that are watching. I rebuke sickness. I rebuke pain. I speak healing. Everybody pray with me while we're praying right now for those that are watching who could not be here. Father, we command your people to rise and be healed. I command blind eyes to open. I command deaf ears to hear. I command the lame to walk. I rebuke sickness and addictions, and I release the healing power of God. I rebuke the spirit of cancer, and I release the healing power of God to touch your people. I command pain to go and healing to come to God's people right now in the name of Jesus. If that's you, I want you to do something you couldn't do right now in your own home. Do something you couldn't do. Move, turn, twist. And if God has touched you, let us know somehow through email, through the Facebook site. Let us know if God has touched you and healed you tonight. Now, those of you that are here, I want you to lift your hands. Impartation. God's going to use you. Holy Spirit, come upon your people. Release the gifts of the Spirit. Release words of knowledge. Release gifts of healing. Release discerning of spirits. Release the spirit of prophecy. Release the word of wisdom. Release all the nine gifts of the Spirit, the gift of faith. Tongues and interpretation of tongues. The working of miracles. Release upon your people right now and use their lives to make a mark on this earth that cannot be erased. In the name of Jesus. Just wait for a moment. Holy Spirit, touch them. I speak impartation right now throughout this entire crowd. And I thank you that you're going to use your people to do the works of Jesus and even greater. In Jesus' name. If you want prayer after the offering, I'm going to be down here. We're going to have some leaders. If you want prayer, I'm going to stay here and pray with you. If you personally need prayer, because we have to end right now, we're going to take the offering. Remember your tithes and offerings. The bucket's being passed right now. Sow in faith, sow in love, sow with expectation, and watch God move in your life. God bless you so much. Thank you for being so attentive. Thank you for coming out. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May you have an incredible week in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.